This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Rachel Martin. People from all corners of the music industry were gathered in Los Angeles last night on the eve of the 54th Grammy Awards. But instead of the fevered speculation about who would be voted the year's best artist, the conversation was all about Whitney Houston. The 48-year-old pop diva was discovered dead in her room at the Beverly Hilton late Saturday afternoon. NPR's Karen Grigsby Bates has more.
Houston died alone in the same hotel that was the venue for a party where she'd often entered in triumph, the annual pre-Grammy Awards bash given by her mentor, recording impresario Clive Davis. It was at Davis's A-list party that a teenaged Houston was introduced to the recording industry. And it was at another Davis party, says Billboard editorial director Bill Wordy, that an important milestone occurred.
I think it was just a year or two ago when she had her comeback album. You know, this is her big moment. This is where she took the stage again and performed and sort of made people realize that, you know, she could still sing.
Houston came from music royalty. Her mother, Sissy, sang backup for stars like Elvis Presley. Dionne Warwick was a cousin, and Aretha Franklin was her godmother. When she burst upon the music world in 1985, there was no doubt in anyone's mind the willowy beauty was a star.
A few stolen moments is all that we share. You've got your family, and they need you there. Though I try to resist being last on your list, but no.
Houston's striking looks and silky voice made her an instant celebrity. Music critic Stephen Ivory says her image was meticulously crafted by her mentor, Davis.
She was a voice, but she was the vision of Clive Davis. And Clive Davis is a big fan of ballads. This is his personal taste. And so when he found Whitney, he said, "This is my perfect instrument."
The instrument became iconic when Houston applied it to a Dolly Parton song that became her signature in 1992.
I hope life treats you kind, and I hope you have all you dreamed of, and I wish you joy and happiness, but above all, you love. And I will always love you.
Billboard's Bill Wordy.
It was literally referred to as the note, right? That moment in I Will Always Love You where she hits the high note. No one can hit that note. I think there's probably like four people on the planet that can hit that note.
Houston's music was stellar, but her personal life was chaotic. Perhaps in an effort to escape the refined cage Davis had built around her, she married Bobby Brown, a former singer with the R&B group New Edition. The union was frighteningly volatile. Both Browns ended up in court on drug charges at various times, and many assumed Houston's canceled appearances and erratic behavior were Brown's fault. Music critic Stephen Ivory says they had more in common than people assumed.
I think they were two of a kind. I don't think that Bobby had any more to do with her spiral downward than she had to do with it herself. They were compatible, sadly.
Viewers got to see that for themselves when the two did a tawdry reality series, Being Bobby Brown. The couple divorced in 2007. Houston made a comeback 2 years later, engineered once more by her old protector, Clive Davis. Her album, I Look to You, climbed to number one, but her tour, with several canceled dates, was a disappointment. She recovered enough last year to take a lead role in a remake of the 1976 movie Sparkle. Her two last songs will be released when the movie is. Meanwhile, tonight, Grammy winner Jennifer Hudson will lead a tribute to the woman she says inspired her own career. Karen Grigsby Bates, NPR News.
Thank you.